I see great things and great faith and good blessings of good things to come. I see wonderful days and grand nights and restful twilights on pleasant heights. I see a heart of humility and a word to preach. I see power released to recover the breach. Tears of joy I see ahead when all has been done and said. A heart of joy I see, a crown of gold victory. I see a grand light piercing through the darkest night. And I see people's joyful faces in clearer sight. I see eyes full of happiness and hope renewed. No more sadness, mistakes construed. Oh, I see good things and great purposes I know. Before it happens, remember, I've told you so. I see people smiling with big grins and plain old happy times all around. But remember, if you ever remember anything at all, is that I took the time to write it down. I see great things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That was great. Two wonderful words. Thank you so much, Suzanne, for being faithful. And to you, Will, for that extraordinary, prophetic, poetic prayer. There's a good word today for us, and God's going to do some ministry. I hope you're ready to receive some ministry from the Lord and to participate in what he wants to do today, because it's going to be wonderful for you. First and foremost, I want to remind all of you that beloved Nanny, Bobby Arthur's mother, has gone to be with the Lord. She passed away this week at, I think it was Tuesday morning at 12:12, if I'm not mistaken. That's kind of like a prophetic
Wednesday
morning at 12:12. It's 12:12. There's some real truth behind that. The service is going to be at Portal's Funeral Home down in West Haven. Does everybody have the information on that? It's Tuesday at 10 a.m. There's a visitation. Then there's going to be a service after that. If anybody wants to follow up, get more information about it, you can contact who? Bob Arthur? Either one of Bob or Bobby Arthur. We remember Nanny with the greatest of fondness. I'm telling you. Nobody like her. All of you knew her. All of you loved her. She loved everybody here. She was a very special person. She was very special to our family. She was not just Nanny in name. She was Nanny in reality to our children and to us. Once in a lifetime, some people that are just special. So we thank God for her years here on this earth and all she meant to us. 94 years. Isn't that wonderful? And I'll tell you what, death did not take her till she was ready. I'm telling you the truth. She strong-armed God. She wasn't going until she was done. And he didn't want her until she was done. So praise God for that. And that's the way everybody should live. I'm going to teach you some things today about liberty. You like the sound of that? Okay. Hope I got the right notebook. I do. Praise God. Liberty, there's a law of liberty. There's a need for liberty. Jesus came to set us free. I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 4. Bless God. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to deliver truth. Thank you so much for delivering it to us. Thank you for Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He is truth, and he delivered truth. And he said these things when he opened up his mouth to begin his ministry. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed or bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." So Jesus wanted liberty for his people. When he came, he had a conflict with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the lawyers. And he complained to them and he told them, "You do nothing but bind heavy burdens upon the people. You restrict them. You hold them down. You bind them with laws. Do this, don't do that. There were laws for everything. How far you could walk on the Sabbath day, whether you could light a fire, cook. I mean, there were outrageous laws. And these people lived under terrible bondage. And when Jesus came, he set them free. Here's the truth about religion. Religion tends to law. Religious people always tend to law. That includes us. There is this human thing in us to perform on behalf of God to make him happy. See what we're doing. I am following some laws. Do they make you happy, God? And the reality is there's really only one law he wants us to follow. The law of love. The law of life in Christ Jesus. The royal law that we should love one another as we love ourselves and love God with all of our hearts. But instead of that, we pile on a lot of laws. Whether we realize it or not, we're making laws for our lives all the time. And I want to talk to you about today so you can get free, because everybody here has some law that they have manufactured for themselves or for others, which is the worst thing we can do, to establish laws for others to live under, laws that people don't know or find out about because of your disapproval of their behavior. So I'm going to read to you some things about liberty. Now, before I do that, I want to speak to you a little bit about what is called antinomianism. Has anybody ever heard that word? Yes, you have? Okay. Antinomianism has been around ever since Christianity's been here. Antinomianism is a word that comes to us, meaning we are against law. Now, the reality is, within our Christian faith, as I mentioned, there are some laws. They're laws of liberty. The law of Christ Jesus, whom the Lord has set free, is free indeed. That's a law. He has set us free. But then there are those people who think that means that I can do anything I want, anytime I want, with anyone I want. And that's antinomianism. It is against law. The word law is a word that is in the Greek nomos. Nomos. And the origin of the law means to restrict pasture territory for animals to graze in. You follow that principle? Farmers would say, here is the prairie that I let my animals graze in, and your animals shouldn't come over there and mine shouldn't get out. That's the territory, the restricted area in which they can graze for food. So that's the origin. That's the sense of restriction. So law has limitations to it, always. That we should never go beyond the limits of the law into our own regions, our own makeup, things that we want. In Acts 24, verse 23, I'm going to read these to you. I think it's the best thing I could do. You could see the context, because there's a lot of times that the word law and liberty work together. So I'm just going to follow these through for you. Acts 24 and verse 23, this is about Paul. It says that Felix commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. That liberty there was to let him loose and to relieve him from the pressures of confinement. So there's a liberty to release you from confinement. Then in Acts 27 and verse 3, I'm sorry I'm going to give you a few scriptures, but it takes a little time to go through them, but I think it's helpful to you. Paul was being transported to Rome, and in Acts 27 verse 3, it says, "And the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care." And that word there means to allow somebody to do something. Religion has a way of preventing people from doing things, unfortunately. What if we had a law here that says that women could not speak in church, and so Suzanne could not have prophesied to us? That would have been unfortunate, wouldn't it? What if we had a law that says only certain people can pray, and so Will could not have come up here and prayed? Those things would not be good. In Romans chapter 8, And in verse 21, we read this. This is about creation. Because the creation itself was also would be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The earth today is almost like a slave waiting for its liberty that is dependent upon us who become the manifested sons. And at the time when there is this manifestation of us as the sons of God, earth will be released from its bondage. It's presently in bondage. It is not performing as God had intended to. I don't know that you realize that. It's functioning, but not to its fullest capacity. There is a liberty yet. And that liberty in this situation is dependent upon us. So sometimes people get freed because we give them the liberty to be freed. This is very important in our day-to-day activity with one another. Then let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. Now, let's begin with the truth of this. We have been given a liberty to do a lot of things. The law is gone, and now we work in a different principle that we follow the law of liberty in Christ Jesus. We follow after the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of liberty there. But never are we to allow for our liberty to become a problem for somebody else's conscience. Meaning that we exercise this authority that we have, this freedom, this liberty, in such a way that we do not harm our brothers and sisters. If, for example, I was in a place, and I've traveled around the world, where Christians do not like to drink any alcoholic beverage, then I would not drink an alcoholic beverage because I don't want to violate their conscience. I might have liberty to drink a beer. Some of you might say, but careful. I do have liberty to drink a beer, but I don't need to drink a beer, especially if it would offend somebody. I have the liberty and the authority. There's a power that is given to us that we exercise rightly. There's a freedom all from condemnation, 2 Corinthians 3. You know, just imagine if I was on national TV and said something about drinking beer. I guess the telephones, the emails would get lit up by some people. Hallelujah. You know that actually my liberty set some people free one time. I was ministering down, if you don't mind my telling you the story. I was ministering down in Venezuela and had a long night one time, you know, with his church, and it was great. And we went out afterwards with the pastor and his wife to have something to eat. It was late, around 11 o'clock, and we hadn't eaten. And we got a little hors d'oeuvre, and the waiter said, "Would you like something to drink?" I said, "Yeah, I'll have a cerveza, a beer." And the pastor looked at me like, and you know what he said? "I'll have one too." I didn't know that he had been keeping himself from drinking anything alcoholic, which is fine. I honor that. Had I known, I probably would have said, "Let me have a Coke." But actually, I don't drink Coke. But you know the point. And so there was a liberty that my own liberty helped him become free. Not a license to violate his conscience, because here's the thing. Whatever a person thinks is sin. Do you understand that? If you cannot do something before God, you do not feel comfortable, don't do it. But if you do feel free, that's a different story. So, we're talking about liberty. All right, there is a law of liberty in James chapter 1. And verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. There is a law of liberty that God has given us, a freedom. Praise his holy name for that. So now it comes down to this morning. What is it that we need liberty from or for in our own lives? What are the laws that we impose upon ourselves? Now, this teaching came from my own experience with God. And I want to get very personal with you, okay? This past week, Tuesday morning, I got up and I follow a fairly rigid routine. And after I got myself ready to come to the office, got in the car, and I had this feeling come over me like, dear Lord, this is a grind. It shouldn't be a grind. So what's going on here, Lord? And instead of turning right, I turned left. I didn't come directly to the office. And as I'm driving around, I'm saying, what's going on? What do you want to say to me, Lord? He said to me this. He said, you put yourself under a performance orientation. It's become a law. And you become bound by it. I said, but God, I just want to please you. I just want to serve you. I just want to maximize my time. I don't want to fritter away anything. I feel responsible. I want to make sure I do everything you want me to do. I have to keep myself serving. And he said, no, you have to just simply obey me. There's a difference. He said, you're making a law of performance on how to make me happy. I want you to be happy. Because I'm freeing you to do one thing, that is obey me. All the things that you want to do for me, how many of those things have I told you to do? You thought they would be the right things to do. I know that you study every day, you pray, you seek me, you do your research and development, as I call it, you intercede, you do all those things, and you have done them dutifully, and I respect that, but you haven't always listened to what I wanted you to do. Some days I don't want you to do that. I want you to do something else. So we get into autopilot, where we think we're doing everything we should to make God happy, and we have created a law for ourselves. But here's the worst thing. We also create laws for others. We create laws for one another. Of what we expect of other people, of how they should behave, how they should act, what they should do, when and how and why. We inwardly check on them as to whether or not they're doing what we think they should be doing. We may not say anything to them, but we do have this inward feeling of actually a judgment of how they're acting, what they're behaving at a certain time, how they're doing, and that's wrong. Parents do it with kids. Husbands and wives do it with each other. And that's witchcraft when that starts to operate there. And it also can infiltrate into a church where somebody feels that they have the right to tell other people how to live, what to do, how to act, when to whatever. And they begin to push people around. And it happens especially with leaders. But it can happen with anybody that feels they have a right. Or the responsibility, or they think they're better. These are all wrong. They are terrible, and they affect the church, and they put the church in a bondage. And Jesus said, I came to set men free. That was the first word that came out of his mouth. Did you know that Luke 4:18 was the first message that Jesus preached? And in it, he said, I came to set men free. And he was speaking to a religious community that was under religious bondage. Laws have a way of governing us. Laws control us, our behavior, our actions. They manage us. They make us manage our time. They manage our thoughts. Because once you start living under a particular law, you think about it, and it manages your thinking. It creates procedures. Do this, then do that, then do this, and do it this way. How many of you are under that right now? How many of you are under those types of performances, those laws that you have set us and established for yourself? If we cannot get delivered of this, we're in trouble. Because they conflict with the liberty that Christ has given us. Liberty to walk after the Spirit, to walk after Him, to follow Him, to let Him be the head of the body, to let Him lead us and guide us. Right now, some of you can't get freed of dilemmas or sicknesses because you're trying to perform your healing or get out of it through a certain procedure. I can't tell you the number of times that people have said to me, well, I've got this disease or this sickness, and I've been searching God to find out what I have done wrong. That's a performance. That's a law that you put yourself under that says this: I did something wrong, therefore I'm having this problem. And I need to correct my situation by undoing what I have been doing. Jesus came to people and healed them even when they were in sin and said, go and sin no more. But he didn't ask them to stop it before he healed them. He just loved them enough to heal them first and then tell them, don't do that anymore. He did that with a prostitute. The point being, God loves us more than we think. We think we can make him happy by doing something that will make him happy. No, he's happy already. He loves us already. He wants to do something already for us. I'm not saying stay in sin and get healed. That's not the way to live. You can't live that way. But you understand my point. You have got to realize how much God loves us and frees us to follow after the perfect law of liberty, which is a law to follow him with all our hearts, all of our strength, all of our mind. Everything that's in us, just to simply obey him. Do you know the liberty that creates for you? The pressure it relieves you of? That you don't have to think of what you have to do next in order to make him happy or how to live? Just follow him. And sometimes, and I don't want you to get wild when I teach you this, but sometimes he's going to say, I just want you to go to the shore today and walk along the beach with me. And to our religious minds, that might be like, really? Oh, I must be hearing the devil. But reality is that God wants you to. He went up to the mountains. That was his place of refuge. He walked along the seashore, and sometimes he walked across the sea. He could be with God, his Father. He was comfortable. At the end of my time, my contemplation with the Lord over the things he was speaking to me, he said to me, look at Jesus. He didn't have an office to work in. He didn't have a church building he could function in. He just went. Wherever he went with the Holy Spirit. He listened to the Father. He did what the Father wanted him to do. He was at peace. In contrast to the Pharisees, the Sadducees and all the religious people who are in bondage all the time. Today, the church goes right back into that. We tend to make laws for our lives. Maybe there are some things in the world that it's important for us to have laws to do this and not to do that. But in the kingdom of God, while there are definitely laws about it, with the whole scripture tells us that there are principles that are going to happen. The greatest one is that there's a law of liberty to follow after the Lord and not conform yourself to a strict code of conduct that we create. I hope I'm making this clear. I'm certainly not teaching you to disobey God. Antinomianism is a principle that says we don't even have to worry about sin anymore. We live under grace. You can do anything you want and God will still love you. Well, God will always love you, but that doesn't mean you do anything you want. So, I want to ask the Holy Spirit how he wants to minister to you, because certainly everyone here needs to get free from some self-imposed laws. They're heavy. They're weighty. They're burdens. They're exhausting. We become our own gods when we impose these laws on ourselves. Worse, when we impose them upon our loved ones, our brothers and our sisters, our sons and daughters, our husbands and wives, and others here in the congregation. That is awful. We need to be free. I'm going to pray a general prayer and release you to the Holy Spirit, and for you to consider yourselves where you're at. And if you need prayer, if you want to have help, if somebody wants to pray with another person, that's fine. But first and foremost, what we're going to do is release you in the name of Jesus. Are you ready to be released from self-imposed laws and to walk in the liberty that God wants you to walk in? Not lawlessness, please understand that, but a liberty with God. Please be sure. I know the difference, and I want you to know the difference. Heavenly Father, we thank you that today you would speak into our lives and set us free from our self-imposed laws that we have made for ourselves, performance laws to make you happy, performance laws that make us feel that we're doing the right thing by them, performance laws that make us feel good when we perform them, performance laws that we put upon other people and hold them in bondage with. God, forgive us. Forgive us and set us free by your Holy Spirit right now. Release us, oh God. Set us free from any demonic stronghold that has taken advantage of us and captured us today with our own laws and restrictions. And we just take authority over the spirit realm right now that would be exercising dominion over us, making us feel that we have to do this or that in order to make God happy or for our own sense of fulfillment that we have done the right thing. We ask for your freedom today, Jesus. We set people free that we have put under restrictions. How dare we do that to one another? Heavenly Father, forgive us. Set us free today. Jesus, we want to walk with you. We want to live with you. We want to hear your voice and do that which you tell us to do. We want to think about how you lived, how you roamed the streets, the villages, the homes, how you stopped to talk to people, how you listened to the Father, how you did the things that he wanted you to do, how you interacted with the community in which you were involved in. All these things, Lord, we want to learn how to live like that. Forgive us for missing opportunities because we didn't listen to you, but we listened to ourselves. Forgive us for the fears that we had to do certain things a certain way. And release us today. Set us free and into a new course in our lives with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay. Take as much time as you need with the Lord. If you need to pray with somebody or have somebody pray with you, do so. But I just thank God for liberating us this morning. Amen. Thank you, Holy God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name, God. Thank you, Jesus.